Welcome to another episode of the TPH 12 Minute Talks. Today's topic is how to call a big bobcat. The biggest of the big bobcats. I'm going to put 12 minutes on the clock, and you are ready now.
I mean, first thing I would say is probably find some land in Oklahoma. Seems like there's a bunch of really big bobcats coming from Oklahoma.
Yeah, the Oklahoma hunters know how to get it done.
That's a joke for those who don't know.
Sometimes
there's some cheating coming out of Oklahoma, but that's neither here nor there.
Sometimes. All the time.
This question comes up every single year when we get around contest, January, February, March.
Well, for people who don't know, West Texas Big Bobcat, it pays out for the biggest bobcat, and it pays out
in millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like it's typically like a pretty huge payout, which probably what welcomes cheaters, but that's not what this is about. But it's not one. The first place I would start is scouting. Cause I mean, if you don't have big bobcats, you're probably not going to kill a big bobcat.
Yeah. You're not going to go out there and get lucky and have a 40 pound cat walk out in front of you.
So you owe yourself to do the pre-scouting. Like, and what I would do is start way well beyond any contest to get an idea of what's present on your properties you're allowed to hunt. Now, that doesn't go for just a big bobcat, because it happens every year without fail, is they get their big bobcat that probably would have been either winner or contender, top, whatever, and then they were unable to get their qualifying animals. So, regardless of what you can kill bobcat-wise, if you don't have the property to gain your qualifying animals, what good is it going to do? So, do your scouting. I mean, scouting is the most important part, and that's trail cameras on feeders, waters, so on and so forth. Getting out, putting eyes on land, getting out looking for tracks, really trying to get an idea of how many bobcats are there, what sizes do they range from, and you know, we get lots of trail camera photos every single year. Can you tell how big this is? No, I can't. I mean, I can tell if it's a small one or a big one, but it pertains to trail cameras, have something out there to gauge height or length off of, because when you start really looking at that, you can kind of start getting an idea, especially on height and length. So whether it be a feeder pin panel, just put a freaking stick out there with marks on it and
what is
1-inch increments.
So for you, what is a big bobcat? Where does that start for you?
For me?
Yeah.
30 pounds.
Okay.
And so the best way to gauge that for your land is keep a journal, keep a log. Like every bobcat you kill, measure its height, length, measure its head. I mean, just get some good accurate measurements and keep a good running log of past kills on what they weighed. And that'll give you an idea when you start looking at these trail cam photos of what the general size is. I mean, you're not going to know until you completely know, but I will say this. Every single bobcat that's like 27 pounds and over has been freaking tall, longer bodied. And you know, where the kicker is, like some of these are big old boys. You know, fat bobcats, they may not be as tall or as long, but then you're going to be able to see that in their belly, like their width of their stomach. Like if you have a really tall but lanky bobcat, you know, large frame, really tall and long and everything, he may only go 27, 28 pounds. But if you have a really long, tall bobcat that's filled out good, it's probably definitely going to go in that 30-pound region. Now, and again, if you keep extensive notes on stuff like that when you're looking at these trail cam photos, you're going to get a pretty good idea. Or go the weigh-in. Prep for this for a couple years. Go the weigh-in. Look at the winning bobcats. Measure them yourself. I'm sure they're not going to care if you're like, hey, do you mind if I measure a few of these? Measure their heads, their bodies, their
depends
heights.
On how you say it. don't be accusatory when you do
right, so. Right. Yeah, no, definitely don't roll in there. Just tell them you're like, hey, I want to keep a running log of what these things look like.
You know, are you saying the more experience you get with something, the easier it is to...
It's crazy, yes.
Yeah, that's
crazy. So, you cannot kill what's not there. So, what I would typically tell people is like North Texas, there's a bunch of bobcats. And it's kind of like people don't realize it because they don't see them, because what you end up with is a much thicker country. And you have to wait on stand a lot longer to be super successful at bobcats. Now, that same opinion can be held for anywhere for bobcats, but in like West Texas and more open country, they don't have that thick brush to hide in. So they may sit out there for a while, but you can totally see them. And it's not always going to be a super long stand to get a bobcat come in, but this is what I tell everyone is, if you're going for a big cat, get your animals knocked out, your qualifying animals knocked out very quickly, as fast as you can. Whether you save some country for that, fox, cow, whatever the case may be, go get that done, get it out of the way. And what I would do is literally spend the entirety of the rest of my time going after said bobcats. And I would only call areas where I know bobcats are, or I've scouted for bobcats and I've seen them there. I have plotted out in my notebook time frames where they may be around. Now, this is another thing I get every year. Like, I've been seeing this cat every couple of days, every day, whatever. And within this time frame, is he going to be there come big bobcat? I have no idea. It's a cat. At the end of the day, they're just like a barn cat. It could have a general idea of travel pattern every day. And a grasshopper hopping by it could totally change its entire plans for the day. So don't become discouraged. And never, ever rule out a spot. Like, if you have a spot picked out for a big cat and you went and caught it within this time frame you think it's going to be there, and he doesn't come, go back later. Swing back around. Again, bobcats are nothing more than, as pertains to their activities, nothing more than a barn cat. They could totally just change their mind and go a different direction that day, or they might nap a little bit longer somewhere else. Like, if they're going to act just like a typical barn cat as it pertains to hunting and roaming around, so on and so forth, but they do have kind of certain routines and travel patterns they typically like to go on.
Do you have any suggestions? Not just, I mean, obviously getting a big bobcat, but how do you preserve the weight prior to weigh-in?
Nowadays, with all the rules and stuff, you definitely need to check the rules first. That's okay. First and foremost, before you do anything, check the rules. See what you're allowed to do. I, myself, if I'm allowed to, one, I'm going to shoot it with a super fur-friendly caliber, one that I know is actually going to kill the cat, but also it's not going to blow it up. It's when white's the priority, use a fur-friendly caliber. I don't care if you hunt with... Myself, I'm going with 223 and down, like 223, 204, 17 Remington, and I'm going to go out there with proven ammo that I know doesn't blow shit up, but it does dispatch stuff very well. I don't care if I hunt coyotes with a totally different caliber. It never hurts to take two guns anyways, but I pull out a specific cat gun, and I'm going to practice with this rifle. I'm going to be able to shoot it pinpoint accuracy. I'm talking about if I have to shoot an eyeball through a bush, because cats like to come in, stop behind trees. Now, that's a dangerous spot for the cat to be in. He may bug out because of the shadows, the shade that's being casted off your light or whatever behind this tree. I'm going to become very proficient with this very highly accurate and precise platform. And again, I'm going 223 and down, because 20 to 50 depends on where you hit it and what bullets you're running. It may be fur-friendly, may not. Like, it may be fur-friendly on a chest shot, but it may blow its head completely off if that's what you shoot. And I'm going to try not to limit myself where I have to shoot something in order for it to be fur friendly. Now, the first thing I'm going to do when I get up to it is pick it up in a manner where the entrance where you shot it is not seeping out blood. Because the moment you start like letting blood out, that's just weight going down. Now, again, definitely check with your rules. If you somehow have a larger hole to where it's leaking out a lot of blood, if you're allowed to, grab up a little bit of dirt and plug that hole. But the best thing you can do is pick that thing up to where it's not going to leak out. And myself, I want to shoot them in the chest. That's where I typically like to go, right center of the chest, blow up the heart, but not blow out the back or anything. That small hole, I can pick it up in a certain way. I don't care if you have to tie it up that way as to where that blood will not get out. And again, like I said, probably the most important thing is scouting and how long you're on stand. This is another question I get a lot. I'm going to knock out those animals, those qualifying animals really fast as I can. And I'm not going to pass a cat while I'm getting them, but I'm going to be making my faster stands to get that done. I want the hungry animals first. And then I'm going to go straight to cat stands. And it's one thing I tell people all the time, until you know you've shot a cat big enough, if you have more mature cats present, go ahead and keep calling. Even if you shot a cat on a stand like 2 or 3 minutes in, if you know for a fact he might not be big enough, or if you send somebody down there to go ahead and weigh it real fast, keep calling. Make 30-minute stands. What's it going to hurt? Your objective is to kill a big bobcat. And if this property, particular properties you're hunting, has multiple mature bobcats and you feel like shooting them, shoot away. Shoot them. I mean, I don't particularly care for shooting babies, but if they're mature, shoot them. It's going to be great for your fawn population, your quail population, so on and so forth. If you have a larger pool to pick a heavier weight from, that's going to be all the better. But again, you know, it's very dependent upon the property and what the property owners want you to do or what you want to do. You know, keep calling. Call for at least 30 minutes. Cats like to just come in and then stop and wait. And it's highly dependent upon where you're at.
How long would you wait on a cat stand? Like, what's the maximum amount of time that you would?
It depends if there's a cat coming. I've waited up to an hour.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I'm solely going for cats and I'm already scouted, I know there's cats in this area, I'm making 30-minute stands. Because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've killed cats early in the stand and then turn around and there'll be another cat there later in the stand. But I learned this a lot from North Texas where I really dialed in my cat calling success. Wait longer on stands. Cats like to be methodical with their movement. So, and that's not saying they're not going to come in fast sometimes. Absolutely be ready for that. But if I'm devoted to killing cats, I'm making 30-minute stands at a minimal.
Yeah.
Complete minimal. Now,
what vocals are you using?
That's a solid question. I'm typically using prey distress, busy bird sounds or busy rabbit sounds. But if it's getting to where I'm not calling nothing in, I will start using cat sounds, bobcat and heat sounds. Or if I've got one locked up and I need him to move one way or another, I'm going to go ahead and throw out like a bobcat and heat sound out. But typically it's just busy bird or rabbit sounds. And, you know, sound duration, that's, you know, use your own discretion. Like I typically run a sound for like almost 9 minutes straight. But there have been times where we use 4 minutes per sound, like because we had a cat hung up and we just wanted to keep his attention because, cats have short attention spans. That's why I typically run my sounds longer, but if it's not working, it's not working. Now, if there's one thing that's going to lead you to the highest success at killing a big bobcat, it would probably have to be, in my personal opinion, you know, opinions are a dime a dozen, I suppose, but there's just one thing.
Oh, we're out of time.
Sorry, guys. See you guys next time.